Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Welcome back to another episode of Murph and the Mage. Well, actually, not really. We're still a Giants report. But it is back to Batman and Robin. Peanut butter and jelly. Cookies and cream. Do you have anything else, Murph?
Salt and pepper. Bourbon and whiskey. Weed and candy. How about Giants and winning?
I like the last one. I like that last one a lot. That's right. It is back to being Murph and the Mage. Unfortunately, Tino's shoes just got too big to fill. So we are going back to our roots, starting where we started with just the two of us. Murph, you know what? This does bring back memories for me, though, man.
Gin and juice, baby.
This was sipping on my gin and juice. Laid back. Look, that's how it started on Twitter. It all came out, started as a joke. Ha ha. Oh man, we should do a podcast. We should call Murph and the Mage.
No. You courted me, you kind of stalked me. Similar to like what I used to do to women when I was single. And you were relentless, and I finally caved.
Well, now that that's out there, people are definitely gonna associate me as a creep. But that's all right, though. That's
Right.
That is how it went down.
I'm pretty sure neither one of us gave a shit.
So make sure you follow us on Twitter at @TheMage_NFL. Follow the podcast at Giants Report Pod. And Murph?
I'm back. Murph with two H's. Blue, 1925, baby. And I'm going to behave myself. Honestly, I just need it so I can keep up on fantasy.
That's it.
And all the hellacious wars that you and the rest of the fools have been fighting. Don't care. Fuck Twitter. Just on there for laughs and shits and giggles now.
Well, you already alluded to it, though, Murph. So if the Giants did get a win this past Sunday, we did have a follow-up, a victory episode, more or less, if you want to call it that. So where are you right now? I mean, we touched on a lot of this already from the podcast Sunday night. So how are you still feeling, though, after the Giants victory on Sunday?
Still riding high, bro. I'm still going to be riding high 12:30 on Sunday. We don't get this often, so I mean, dude, they were gritty, dude. They battled through adversity, and that's something, like we said on Sunday, we haven't seen in years, right? This was a game that the Giants typically lose in Giants fashion. Yeah, Tennessee helped us out, but we did look like a completely different team in the second half, man. So I'm happy. But we can't come out as that first half team this week. We have to come out right like Dabble said, where their gas tank's empty. Got to fill that thing back up and empty it again, man. I'm excited, but I'm not getting too excited. I would love to sit here and talk about Big Dick Dabs and how much I like Wink's scheme and how impressed I was with Kafka, but we kind of did that last time, and I'm not going to get too ahead of myself.
You know what I'm upset about? But then again, I'm not that upset because there were a few people that had it like an hour before me, but I did call Brian Daboll, and now there's merchandise floating around everywhere with that. Although it was an original thought, I wasn't the first one to say it, though. There were like two people ahead of me to say it, and our boy Tap actually came up with the South Park meme too, where he's dragging around his large nuts, and he photoshopped Brian Daboll's face onto it, which was pretty cool. But
I'm a big fan of it. I'd rather just call him Big Dick Dabes.
That's also now circulating. Oh, my Oh, this is interesting. So my Apple Watch has been listening to me, and it says, nuts and I eat Photoshopped Brian Devil's face. So this is really cool. Apple's always listening. But it's crazy because if you've been on Twitter recently, you would never know that the Giants won this game this past Sunday.
Well, all social media, to be honest with you.
I just don't understand, man. Like, how did we get here? Matter of fact, you know what? That's going to be the name of this podcast because I really don't freaking understand. Like, the Giants won. This is the first time since 2016 that the Giants have won their opening game.
Saquon looked like a completely different football player. Looked fucking angry, mean, ran like I've never seen him run before, even in college. You got an elite left tackle, it looks like, out there. And you have an exciting coaching staff, yet we're still fucking miserable because of the quarterback.
But I really don't understand. All right, so I forgot what the statistics were, but I think Daniel had 17 yards in the last 11 minutes, something to that nature, yada, 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 whatever the bullshit was. Before that, I think it was like 170 something yards passing. The Giants won. Did Daniel Jones have an egregious interception in the end zone? Yes, he did. He did. And you know what? Brian Daboll ripped him a new one on the sideline. And I have zero problem with that. Zero. You know why? Because to a certain extent, I do feel like that Daniel Jones has been coddled a little bit, right? This is John Mara's guy, seemingly. And everyone has been afraid to, rock Danny's bow or just, say anything the wrong way to him. And Daboll got in his face, man. And then I was on Twitter and then I'm looking at some tweets and people are like, oh, even Brian Daboll knows that he's trash. Well, you know what? Brian Daboll did the same exact shit with Josh Allen, was ripping him a new one on the sideline, pointing to his head, and he was basically telling Josh Allen, you got to use your head after a mistake that Josh Allen made. So this isn't just because of Danny. This is Brian Daboll expecting accountability out of his quarterbacks, and I have no problem with that. And you know what? And a lot of people are like, well, you know what? Brian Daboll didn't trust Danny down the stretch, so he used Saquon Barkley. And I'm sorry, that's a shit narrative. It is. Is Danny going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, or Josh Allen? No, I don't think so, right? But at the same time, don't say that he took the ball out of Daniel Jones' hand. On the last drive, there was a 4th-and-1 call, and Brian Daboll put the ball into Danny's hands on a rollout to pick up that first down. If Danny doesn't do that, or if Danny just makes some sort of mistake in that situation, that's it. Game over. The drive doesn't continue.
Well, if he was truly putting it in Saquon's hands, he would have given it to Saquon on 4th-and-1.
Another good point. You're right. And then somebody said, Tyrod could have even made that play. Why is Tyrod not in the game then if Brian Daboll trusts him in that situation?
Tom Brady, the slowest quarterback in the NFL, could have made that play. What the fuck's the point?
It just doesn't matter. And then also, too, when they get down there, now they're at the goal line situation, what do? They call a rollout, right? Danny rolls out to his right, throws for the touchdown, Chris Myrick. Yep. Yeah, absolutely using Saquon on that play. You know what? It helped because it set up the play action. All the linebackers were looking at Saquon in the backfield as Chris Myrick pretended like he was going to stand for a block and then rolled out. Danny hit him easily for that touchdown. But that's why you have a guy like Saquon Barkley to help out in the passing game for situations like that. That's what the play action does. It helps set up those other plays. So, did the Giants ride Saquon Barkley to a victory? Yes, they did, right? Does that take away anything about Daniel Jones? No, because Daniel Jones still had 2 touchdowns in that game. Yes, he had the 1 interception, But even after getting his ass chewed out by his head coach, he didn't bury his head in the sand. And that's what you want out of quarterbacks. You want them to have a short-term memory. And he went out there and he played. And that game-winning drive, yes, I'm going to credit Danny for that game-winning drive.
Well, I mean, Danny was pretty fucking solid all day long, to be honest with you, with the exception of the turnover. I mean, the first strip, that was probably more on Feliciano. Actually, I think it was on Bredesen. Bredesen got steamrolled. And then, obviously, the talking point is the interception that he stared Saquon down on. But we're so jaded by the fact that we don't have a quarterback that we can't accept that we won a game with this quarterback, right? And it doesn't matter what the kid does. He's already been replaced by 50% of the fan base. I mean, it's obvious. And he could probably be a top 15 quarterback this year, and they still will want to replace him just because of who he is, who he came from, who drafted him, and where we are now. They all want the shiny new toy. But you know what, dude? The fucking shiny new toys ain't it anymore, man. The shiny new draft picks ain't it. So, honestly, I know you want to continue talking to Danny, but I don't care. Danny's my quarterback, man. And he fucking played damn well enough to win a football game on Sunday, and he's going to do it again.
But here's my thing for all those that want a new quarterback next year, and that's fine. I get the reasons that people are upset with Danny. And whether or not we move on or don't move on, I really don't care at this point. I don't have any sort of emotional attachment. But they're clamoring for a rookie quarterback, somebody seemingly like a Trey Lance or Justin Fields, right? There were a lot of people that wanted those guys, even for the New York Giants. Justin Fields doesn't look like he's developing either. Are we going to give Justin Fields a bunch of excuses as well, but then not afford those excuses to Danny?
Justin Fields' excuses are his O-line sucks, and since he doesn't have those turnover numbers like Danny, it's a pass.
It's a pass, okay. Even though he's had a better wide receiver core than Danny the past two, or I guess last year rather, but
I would say they're probably even. I mean, obviously he had A-Rob, but A-Rob really didn't do shit last year, and he didn't do anything for the Rams last week. But you're A-Rob, right.
A-Rob did something while Mitchell Trubisky was there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
is that a byproduct of the quarterback or a byproduct of Allen Robinson?
True. I mean, I think it's pretty close from a skill set standpoint. David Montgomery is a damn good running back. They got Cole Kmet. I mean, he had A-Rob. He's got Darnell Mooney. This year probably has less than he had last year, obviously. But, I mean, it's all the O-line with Justin Fields, right? Whatever happened to the mechanics with Justin Fields? Those are all out the window now because his O-line sucks. Everything's on the O-line. But he doesn't have the fumbles and the turnovers like Danny, so you can't blame him.
I get it now. Now that makes sense. What about Trey Lance?
Trey Lance? I'm a Trey Lance fan. I think he had a rough day the other day. I think Trey Lance is going to be fine, but I haven't seen enough from Trey Lance to know if he's going to be good. So you're right. People are probably crowning him.
I mean, the 49ers reworked Jimmy Garoppolo's deal to keep him there as opposed to releasing him or even trading him. I mean, what does that say about Trey Lance?
I mean, but that's a different discussion in my opinion. I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender. They were a Super Bowl contender last year, so having a vet backup quarterback to a rookie probably isn't the worst thing ever, but I see where you're going with that. But
my point,
Trey Lance hasn't proven shit.
My point here about naming Justin Fields and Trey Lance is that these guys want the next shiny toy, whether it's Anthony Richardson or CJ Stroud. What if they come in and immediately struggle and don't develop either? Right?
Are
they going to receive the same amount of criticism that Danny did or no?
They will eventually. They'll probably get a little bit more of a pass, but Danny did get it. It won't ever be like this because obviously we'll have a different direction. I mean, Danny's old news to a lot of fans. He's old news.
Aside from Saquon Barkley, Danny might be the worst or might be the most hated pick, aside from Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, and you know who else is after that, which is fucking insane? Eli Manning. The fucking fan base hated Eli Manning, dude. I mean, you laugh, but, like, how many times were the fan base done with Eli, bro? You're laughing, but they were done with him every fucking year.
They were burning his jersey in MetLife.
Bro, so for a lot of it is New York. Like, let's be real. You're a Mets fan. I'm a Yankees fan. I see the same fucking shit with the Yankees fans. And a lot of it is New York. They expect it now. It's all about now. And I get that. It's the market. It is what it is. But, I mean, you can't run these kids out of town, man. Like, if Danny, like, I'm trying to think of a situation. Sam Darnold's not great, I guess, because he was with the Jets. But, like, honestly, I don't see how anybody in Danny's shoes would be able to – would have not crumbled by now. And Danny – like, Danny's never lost it in the media. He's never gotten mouthy with anyone. I mean, imagine if this was Baker Mayfield. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean – I don't see – there's very little quarterbacks in the NFL right now that I could see going to Danny's shoes and, you know, not crumble. I mean, he's been served a shit fucking platter. And a lot of it is, man, I think just fans are done. They're just done with him. And I get it. They're sick of it. But, I mean, I don't really give a fuck. Danny's our guy. And I really do think – yeah, if Danny plays like he did this past weekend, pretty average, right? Enough to win games, had two turnovers and two touchdowns, right? So it's 2-2.
The fumble.
Wasn't really his fault, still a fumble. If he plays like that, dude, Danny's going to be a giant, man. He's going to be a giant. He only has to play average.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though. I mean, his numbers do have to improve. And it, to some extent, he has to be able to carry a team because Saquon Barkley is not always going to have games like that. So,
how many touchdowns did Danny have last year? 8, 9?
I forget right now, but it was.
I think it was 9, 10, maybe. That nature. He's already got 2. You just keep that man healthy; he's going to put TDs up, dude.
I hope that you're right. I do. But at the same time, I get it. You know what else goes against Danny is that he's at the end of his rookie contract. So even with the fifth-year option being declined, I mean, the fifth-year option would have been expensive next year anyway. But he just no longer has that luxury that some fans look at with its cap. I mean, I don't give a shit. It's not my cap. As long as it doesn't inhibit the team in any way from being able to make decisions, which we saw under Dave Gettleman, and I get it.
I'm fucking tired of that cap thing, man. That shit hasn't happened since the Eagles. Nobody plays that game anymore.
What game?
The fucking, you gotta win on a rookie contract. Like, okay.
It does benefit.
It benefits, but it doesn't. People act like that is the Super Bowl champion every year. The Rams trade every fucking pick, have a massive fucking payroll. The Bucks have a massive payroll. They have no first round picks. Like, I don't get Carson Wentz's MVP year created this whole thing that you have to win on a rookie contract. That's great. Everybody wants to win on a rookie contract, but it's fucking delusional.
I just think that it's easier for a team to surround their quarterback with other pieces. But you're right, though. I have no idea how the fucking Rams keep doing it. The Rams have extended Aaron Donald. They're paying Matt Stafford. They extended Cooper Kupp. Who else did they pay recently? They signed Allen Robinson. And they just extended somebody on their offensive line, I believe.
It's not just them, though, Mage. I mean, look at the fucking Cowboys. They've had massive contracts.
Yeah, but you're kind of seeing the Cowboys take a hit now, though, because
Again, they've been a contender. I get it. Super Bowl is the goal. But if they're Super Bowl contenders for how many years? I know Dak just got paid, but they also have
not many.
Bullshit. Okay, fair. But they have been. Let's be real. Packers. Same thing. I mean, this whole notion that rookie quarterbacks, it does work. Look at the Chargers. But you gotta, like,
you got to win, right? If that is the gold standard. I haven't seen it since Philly. I mean, maybe the Chargers changed that, but I don't see another team changing that right now. Who else has a rookie quarterback contract that's going to win a Super Bowl? Not
Burrow, maybe.
Burrow hasn't gotten any money? Damn, that's coming soon.
Burrow came off the same year as Herbert.
I thought he already got his contract. But, yeah, he did, Herbert. So, okay.
Burrow was the first. Burrow, Herbert was the second.
Burrow and Herbert. And then which is crazy, though, because you look at the Chargers. You look at the Chargers, and they've signed a shit ton of talent. Free agent-wise. I mean, they got Khalil Mack. They signed up, re-signed everybody on their defense. They got J.C. Jackson.
Derwin James.
They got
on the offense, they didn't really add any pieces.
But you're talking about cap. I'm not talking about offense.
Okay.
So, I mean, you look at them. They've used it. And then you look at the Bengals. They're fucking homegrown, dude. What have they spent money on?
Their offensive line.
No, they haven't.
Lil Collins, they signed as a free
they
agent.
They just spent – they made the Super Bowl last year, homie.
Yeah.
They made it with homegrown talent. They didn't sign a bunch of dudes to surround
sure, – I'm not sure if Bobby Hart's homegrown.
But what I'm saying is they didn't go out and shop around Burrow to make a Super Bowl run. They made a Super Bowl run with the guys they drafted.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it's a fake fucking narrative, dude. Like, it just doesn't – I get it. The window, sure. But who wins with it? Who wins with it?
Very rare.
Besides the Eagles, who else has won with it? I don't know that I can name any. The Patriots, because Tom never took any big deals.
I mean, technically, yeah. I mean, you could say, I guess, around the philosophy with the cap, the Eagles won with it. But the Eagles didn't win with their quarterback. They won with their veteran quarterback, Nick Foles. So, but I guess the philosophy would still be in play because Carson Wentz was on it.
I can't, like, do this whole, like, you got to be under this standard in order to do this. That's not football, man. There's not a right way and there's not a wrong way. You don't follow one building block process and go from there. That's just not how it works.
Good teams make it work. Like you mentioned, the Rams, they don't have a draft pick, I think, for the next 40 years. I could be wrong about that.
They're gonna pay for it.
But do you think they care? Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Why would they?
The Rams won the Super Bowl.
Why the hell would they care? Do you think the Bucks care?
It already paid off.
The Bucks would trade picks if they wanted to. If they had an offer, and let's say, I don't know, they got enough wide receivers. Let's say Leonard Fournette goes down and they need to trade for Saquon. They'd have no problem fucking sending picks. No problem. I don't buy it. I'm not sweating the whole contract piece as much as everyone else. And also on top of that, I mean, you can call me a Danny fan, Danny Homer, but I don't see Danny bending the Giants over.
No, I don't either. And I don't think that Danny would be able to command, you know, what is he going to ask for, $30 million? I don't think he can.
I honestly see Danny getting a similar deal to Trubisky, maybe on a two-year deal.
I always said, and I don't know if I ever made this public or not, but I told you I always thought that Danny was in a $15 to $20 million range. And that's cheap right now considering the quarterbacks that are playing and the contracts they're playing under.
I could totally see the Giants re-sign Danny 2 years, 24 mil, dude.
And like I said, we talked about this before, but personally, if Danny did have a good year this year, you didn't want to commit the franchise cap to him. I know people would lose their shit about extending him or giving him a deal. Technically, who's to say that, I don't know, that you couldn't give Danny a 5-year, $75 million deal, right? Average about 15 per year. If you made, let's say, the first 2 years guaranteed $30 million, that's what he would have gotten on a franchise tag.
Yep.
You're out of it in a year.
Yep. Let's get off Danny, man. I'm just getting angry. We've been going for almost 45 minutes.
Can you let me do the transitions?
I mean, all right. That's what you're good at, transitioning, but yeah.
Please. I would be,
Well, you're just making me mad, man.
You're making me mad. All right.
I'm just tired of it, dude. Like, if we fucking win on Sunday and people are bitching about Danny, like, I'll probably lose my new Twitter account. Like, I don't fucking get it, dude. I don't get it.
All right. So the Giants, right? They beat the Tennessee Titans on a missed field goal, 21-20. However, how do you feel about that defense walking away after that game?
Our defense,
No, Tennessee's defense.
Well, our defense. Wanted to start with the O-line, but I mean, they struggled, dude, and we knew they're gonna struggle. They're gonna struggle, right? The secondary is gonna struggle. We know that that's gonna happen. It's inevitable. I thought Adoree played a pretty damn good game for his first time playing as a CB1. We lacked effort big time at the middle linebacker position from just a discipline standpoint and a coverage standpoint. I mean, Tay Crowder, great hit on Derrick Henry. Awesome coming through that hole hitting him. But, dude, like, he's not going to cut it. He's a stopgap, in my opinion. Kalichro, I thought he actually probably played a lot better than I would have expected, although he had that bad penalty. You know, but I really think
– he also had a pass breakup in the end zone, too.
Yeah, he did. I really think that we got a lot of pressure on Tannehill, but obviously couldn't even scratch him with our nail. I think that would be a huge change, obviously, with Ojulari and Dibbs on the field, you know. X-Man's just not the athlete those guys are. But it was encouraging to see X-Man getting a lot of pressure. I'm fiending to see our edges, man. I'm fiending because I honestly think we would have dominated that game with our edges.
I want to stop you there for a second or just interject because you bring up X-Men and you bring up the pressure on Ryan Tannehill. It seems like anytime that they sent pressure, they sent the pressure up the middle. Any of the pressure that came from outside, you saw a lot of our edge defenders almost stop. So it was like what they wanted to do was to limit the damage and they wanted to keep players at home. They didn't want Derrick Henry or anything. And it's almost like they went into that game with their goal to set the edge, and that was it.
That's all Jahad Ward did all game, and he did a damn good job of it. X-Man was probably a little bit more downhill, but Jahad Ward at that fucking whole side of that line locked down, dude.
I didn't rewatch the game, but I think it was like the first quarter or second quarter. I think it was O'Shane Zimenez that went in, had like a clear path to the quarterback, and then just held up and then wanted to see what he did. And then he rushed him like a second time. I mean, had he just kept going, he may have had the sack, but it was like you can tell, like it almost looked like a focus for them to just limit the damage.
Yeah, that definitely looked like they were almost kind of trying to blanket the entire pocket to figure out if, you know, Derrick Henry was going to go outside. He didn't go outside all game, right? I was impressed with Ward. I mean, I really was. I didn't really know much about him. I do think he's going to be a really good rotational guy for us and obviously a leader with a vet presence in Winks D. But we got a whole different offense this week, man. I mean – we knew how to stop the Titans on paper, right? It was just stop the King. I mean, I don't think you were worried about Tannehill. I wasn't worried about Tannehill. I knew he would be okay, but he wasn't going to carve us. Baker's a lot more versatile than Tannehill. So it's going to be very interesting to see how our pass rush matches up this week.
Just always stop in the middle, like you come to like a dead halt. So I never know if you're done or what.
I'll just start saying I'm done.
You're going like full 100 miles an hour and then just come to a complete stop. So I didn't know what to do with that.
I just think we have a completely different matchup this week.
Sticking with the defense though, real quick. I mean, there was a lot of fucking penalties. There was a lot of penalties on that final drive that fucking killed us. I mean, those penalties allowed Tennessee into field goal range. That's what I'm concerned with. We can't get away with playing actual defense without holding somebody or, you know, creating a pass interference penalty. Like, I'm really concerned about their ability to play man defense in the secondary.
Well, I mean, we knew Darnay was going to struggle with man defense, right? He flourishes in that zone. But at least that was my opinion. I'm not worried about Dory in there, but dude, like again, this is going to be a weak part, man. We knew that they were going to struggle here. I'm not buying too much into those penalties because it's week one. I'll let it slide now. And honestly, the Titans had a lot too. The refs were kind of shady, honestly, a little bit on some calls in that game, period. So honestly, they're human too. It's week one. They got to get all the flags out and shit. Let's just hope that that's not going to be a repetitive thing because that fucking crushed us last year, right? I mean, crushed us, lost us two games, just penalties. But I'm not buying into that. But we knew Darnay was going to struggle. We knew Aaron Robinson would struggle a little bit in the man press, right? I mean, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, with Aaron Robinson, it was expected. But, I mean, there were just penalties all across the board, though, which were, again, Tennessee should have never gotten into field goal range. We allowed them with those penalties. And that's the other thing, too. I say what you want about Joe Judge, but, you know, Joe Judge preached discipline, right? And I know Wink probably ripped into them. I mean, we didn't necessarily see it on a sideline or whatnot, like Dable, but you cannot give up those types of fucking penalties in that situation with a little more than a minute on the clock. You just can't. You got to be smart about it. And we just end up fucking kicking ourselves one too many times. Boys, I think Aaron Robinson had the penalty. Then on the very next play, he gave up the deep pass to Kyle Phillips.
Darnay had the penalty.
That was Darnay. And then he was also in the coverage on Kyle Phillips.
Somebody else had a penalty.
Calicho,
two DBs.
Calicho had one on that drive. So
we had eight flags and they had seven. So it was a pretty even game there.
Yeah, but
shit, how many did we have in the last fucking two drives?
Well, that's four. That's
four? The thing. At least three.
You can't have them on that last drive. That's the only thing. Like, if you're in that situation, I get it, but you got to play better football. If you got to give up a few extra yards in defense, if you got to play off the ball, off your defender a little bit more, do it then, right? Keep them in front of you, but you cannot give up those penalties, man. You just absolutely can't. That almost broke our back.
Yep, no doubt about it, dude. I mean, Giants have always been a pretty penalized team, so kind of like getting off to a hot start, we got to get out of that shit too.
You wanted to talk about the offensive line. So, why don't you?
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it on Sunday. Obviously, it was nice to see that they obviously struggled mightily in the first half. The strength was obviously the run game. Couldn't pass Blackworth shit. But we got away from it in the second half. So, adjustments, right? It's something that we've been calling for years from our coaching staff. I'm still real worried, though, man. I mean, Danny was getting completely shell-shocked that first half. Like, there's going to have to be a big change of pass pro this week. And, I mean, do we really know who the left guard is yet? And why didn't Devery Hamilton get any snaps? I was a little disappointed to see that. Azudu's very raw. He's a fucking unit. He can knock some dicks off, but he's raw. Bredesen Bredesen was the sole reason that ball got stripped. Now, Jeffrey Simmons is a damn good football player, man. Very underrated. Doesn't get a lot of love, but in my opinion, he's a top five defensive tackle. In my opinion, probably the second best after Aaron Donald. So I knew that dude was going to wreck our game. He's the best player on their team, in my opinion. But it's going to be very interesting, you know, because obviously the Titans had the inside pass rush, the DTs to kind of throw our guards off, but this week we get edges, right? We get edges versus our tackles. So it's going to be a little bit of a different matchup, but I'm worried. I'm still worried about inside. Feliciano did not look good.
Even Evan Neal in some of those situations, you can see him hooking players. So
I'm okay with Evan Neal struggling, man. I mean, we've said that. It's going to happen. The problem is,
right, those weren't called in certain situations. What happens when those penalties are called?
No, you're right.
Because then you're shooting yourself in the foot.
But I'm giving him an eight week pass, man.
That's fine. Right? I mean, Evan Neal has to develop. A lot of people wanted to write off Andrew Thomas after his first year also. So I'm not writing him off. My concern is in game.
Yeah.
Right. In game, if he is holding because he's overcompensating for, you know, getting beat outside, that those could potentially be penalties. Those could potentially be drive killers for the team. If all of a sudden the Giants are driving, right, and they get the ball across the 50 and they're in opponent territory, and all of a sudden you get, you know, a holding penalty. Now you push back to the 50. You know, and then let's say it happens again. Now you're like second and long. Like, you just can't have those types of situations. You just can't get into that. And that's my concern with Evan Neal. The good news is that the run blocking looked really good. The other thing is, too, is that Saquon looked a lot more decisive at the line. It was a lot more.
No dancing.
He did not dance at all. So, Saquon saw the hole open up, and then Saquon hit it. And, you know, that's what you need out of him. You need more him to be that north-south type of guy. Even when he got to the sideline instead of just, you know, going out of bounds, and he dipped his shoulder, and he tried to run people over for an additional yard or two. And that's what we've been asking for out of Saquon. So I'm confident. I think that the run game will be fine. But I'm with you, Murph. I'm still a little weary about our pass protection. Azudu, it seems to be almost, I want to say, a run-blocking guard.
Yeah, I mean, did you see him swing? Did you see him playing swing guard a little bit? Dude, he can move some people, bro. But I just – his pass sets are just – they're atrocious.
Yeah, right, so what I think you meant is in certain situations he's pulling.
He's pulling
guards.
Yeah.
A lot more quicker, a lot more nimble than Bredesen, obviously. So he got out in front. Azudu had a couple plays actually on, you know, some of those Saquon runs.
Yeah.
Which is great. So I think Bredesen might come in for pass protection, which kind of sucks in a way. You don't really want that to happen because obviously it's giving away, it's a clue for the defense what you intend to do. So they'll probably just continue to rotate them. Azudu probably has to develop as well. But, yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is at guard either, man.
Not sure. I mean, it's going to probably be all year long, man.
It's a really great question. I don't know why Hamilton didn't get any burn at guard.
I don't know, dude. I don't know if they just, like, see him more as the third tackle or what. It's like they're protecting him. I mean, I think I said in the preseason all I wanted to see was Devery Hamilton and Max Garcia this week, and I don't think either one of them played very much in that fourth game. It's weird because he played good in preseason, but our boy Bobby made a good point when we were talking about this when he was on. It's hard to take preseason tape that serious, especially with O-line. So I don't know. I mean, again, it can't get worse, right? I do like Bredesen. He's not cutting it, and Shane Lemieux's not come fucking in the door anytime soon.
Yeah, so, how long is Lemieux out for?
I don't even know, bro. Honestly, at this point, I just count him out. I don't even see him. He's an extra to me at this point, right? I would have liked to see them have maybe worked out some guards today. I haven't seen the workouts from today, but not sure if they had anybody in. But, you know.
I think we did sign somebody.
We did to the practice squad. I think he's from Kansas City, maybe.
That's right, to fill Max Garcia's spot.
Yeah, but, you know. I think they're going to continue to shop there, probably plug and play a little bit. You know, I didn't hear Glowinski's name at all, which is probably a good thing. You know, I didn't hear him getting any penalties, any holds, anything like that. But, you know, that O-line's got to get off to a quick start this week. I mean, you're going to have Brian Burns and, well, they don't have Hassan Riddick anymore. Who's their other pass rusher?
Brian Burns, Hassan Reddick is now with Philly.
Yeah, so I guess it's just
the other outside. Shaq, what is it, Shaq
Thompson? Oh, Shaq Barrett?
No.
No.
Shaq Barrett's with him.
Oh, Shaq Thompson, the middle linebacker. Well, and also another thing with the Panthers is that this is going to be a better secondary, man. For sure. I mean, you got Gilmore, you got Horn, you got Chin. I don't know that I can name anyone but Kevin Byard on Tennessee's secondary. So, it's going to be a completely different game this week, in my opinion. Yeah. You're telling me to speed up, but I ran out of shit to say, Mish.
I wasn't saying speed up. I was telling you to keep going.
Yeah. What are you looking up?
Buy me some time here. Please. All right, so Brian Burns. Oh, they got your boy Derek Brown, too. They got Matt Ioannidis.
Isn't Brown hurt, though?
I'm not sure. I'm just looking at the depth chart here.
Shit, I hope he's hurt. Man. His ass
time. Yeah, so they got Gross Matos as the other edge from
that's
Penn
right.
State.
And he's pretty decent. Derek Brown is not injured, so for some reason I was thinking he was not going to be playing this week. So honestly, man, it's not a better defense, but
Jeremy Chin, Xavier Woods, J.C. Horn.
Yeah, I mean, you got a better secondary. You still got a hog at the defensive tackle spot who's going to create problems. So, I mean, in my opinion, it's probably a better pass rush and a better secondary. I mean,
they also have Corey Littleton. I forgot that they signed him.
Yeah, he sucks.
And then they also got C.J. Henderson, which they traded for from Jacksonville.
That's right. So, I mean, this is going to be a better defense for sure. What they give up? They gave up 26. But it's nothing that I'm, like, sitting here scared of.
Yeah, again, they just got to play smarter. Now, I mean, the thing for – as we move on to Carolina now, the thing for me is that I'm not sure who the focus should be. So – in Tennessee, the focus was stop Derrick Henry. Can you necessarily say that the focus here is to stop Christian McCaffrey? Because the thing is, he does so many different things. So you can't just – like, Derrick Henry is not really a threat in the receiving game. Can he catch passes? Yeah, absolutely. But he's not somebody that you have to necessarily worry about, like a Saquon Barkley or Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara in the passing game. You have to worry about McCaffrey in the passing game.
I mean, so the Browns shut him down.
Pardon?
The Browns shut him down.
Yeah, but that's, again, you also said it's week one. A lot happens in week one.
Yeah. But.
So I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to shut him down. We don't have athletic enough linebackers to keep up with Christian McCaffrey.
I agree. My point is, though, the Browns shut him down and they made Baker get back in that game. Pretty sure they were getting beat bad. Seven. So they were losing 20-7 in the third. Panthers scored 17 in the fourth. They made Baker beat them. Christian McCaffrey didn't break 100 yards total. Yeah.
Again, I'm not reading that much into it because
no, I'm not. I'm not either. I'm just saying this is what the Browns had success with. McCaffrey did have a TD. He had 33 yards on the ground. But I mean, honestly, dude, honestly, and this sounds crazy as shit, but who the hell is going to guard Robbie Anderson? The dude's fast.
Yeah, and that's another issue, too, with our defenders. I mean, we're pretty grabby, dude.
So I'm saying, like, I think we can stop McCaffrey. I don't think we'll have a problem with that. He's going to get his receptions, probably. We're going to stop him on the ground. But Baker's going to have to beat us. And I mean, a lot of people think Baker sucks, dude, but Baker can game. And Baker's a lot.
Look, here's my strategy going in. Honestly, if we could get a pass rush on Baker, I'd rather force Baker to throw the ball.
Well, and I mean, that comes back to our edges. It's like, dude, we need those guys this week because you're not going to have a statue like Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill can move, but Baker's quicker.
Here's the other thing, too. Here's the Washington offensive line. Ike McQuanu, obviously we know that. Brady Christensen out of, I believe, who is that, BYU or Penn State? No, I don't remember.
I don't know.
Pat Elfin, Austin Corbett, and then Tilla Moton. Moton. I don't know. It's too late. I'm butchering these names. I know Phil's going to be happy with that.
Well, I mean, there's a feast to eat, right? I mean, Tibbs.
An offensive line, though. That's the issue.
Well, see, I'm looking at it as Tibbs is going to own Icky.
Yeah, but Tibbs isn't going to play this week.
I kind of think Tibbs is going to play this week, man. He shouldn't.
That would be such a dumb move. Such a dumb move.
We still don't really know how.
We know it's an MCL sprain. And then the problem is if he comes back too early from that, we don't want him tearing an ACL.
I don't know, man. I'd be putting his ass on IR then.
I'm holding Tibbs. No, I mean, he could be back next week, or I would hold him out to week four. So, I mean, to your point, but if you put him on IR now, then six. He's out for the next 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's not. I think he's out till week six, right?
It might be. I don't know what the IR rules are. See, this is where having a third person that actually knows football on the show comes in. Now we're just two drunk schmucks.
I don't know, man. One of those two has to play, though.
What's Ojulari, hamstring?
Yeah, but he's had that all summer, dude.
He's always got a hamstring fucking injury.
It's the same one that he had from
last year?
No, remember he came to camp with it.
Yeah, but it always seems like Ojulari always has a soft tissue injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be X-Man and Ward again because Quincy didn't do shit.
Question is, do you think this game is winnable?
Look, man. Yeah, is it winnable? Absolutely. Why isn't it? We beat them last year.
So, I mean, why bring back Aziz and then
Tibbs? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, it's a lot more winnable with those two.
Sure. I mean, it should be.
Because, like, look at it this way. Our defense was that close last week. That close. You get those two on the field, I think we're generating some sacks.
Yeah, well, Thibodeau was the fifth overall pick. He needs to be that guy.
No, I agree. That's why. And what the fuck? Is there no practice today? Is it film day?
I guess not. I don't know.
So that's why I was hoping we were going to have an update on those two by the time we recorded today.
Maybe he gave him an extra day off because of the win.
No, I think he's probably just doing film days on Tuesdays. He probably gives him Monday off.
Yeah, Monday's probably.
And then it's Wednesday through Saturday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice, Saturday walkthrough.
I'm not sure. I haven't seen his schedule. I've been busy.
Which is different from Judge. I don't think Judge practiced on Saturdays.
It's just fine by me. I mean, being...
I'd prefer them have Monday off and then a film day Tuesday. That gives them 2 days of rest. And then anybody who's injured. We need those guys, dude. And we definitely need those. I mean, it really just depends on what the Giants want to do, man. Like, we talk about this all the time. Like, if they want to win, then you're going to do what you can to get those guys on the field if they're close. If they're not too worried about pushing the needle right now, then they're probably just going to hold them out. But, I mean, dude, we show up in Dallas and we're 2-0. I mean, you have to play them, right, if they're almost ready. If they're close.
I'm not rushing Tibbs back. I mean, if you want to play Ojulari, play Ojulari. I'm not rushing Tibbs back.
I'm just not buying how bad the injury is. I don't know that it's really anything.
But again, from maybe somebody may have mentioned this, or maybe I read it somewhere, I forget which, but, you know, with that MCL being sprained, it helps support the ACL.
Yeah.
So true. If it's not, you know, if you have a sprain and if something goes wrong with the MCL, and you're putting extra stress or whatever it is on the ACL. That's my only thing is I don't want to rush him back a game ahead of schedule or two games ahead of schedule and end up losing him for a season. I mean, I'd rather have him for 14 games. Right? Yeah, it's an 18-game season. I'd rather have him for 14 games instead of 4 games.
I get it. I totally get it. By the way, your good Carolina O-line gave up 4 sacks last week.
Did they really? Well, that's good news. Well, it depends. They also – Cleveland has a pretty freaking good defense, though. Miles Garrett, who else is on that defensive line?
What's crazy is they got all of their – so Garrett had 2 sacks and Clowney had half, but 2 of their safeties had a sack.
Yeah, so they got the pressure from their outside rushers.
Defensive tackle out of sack, too.
Which is what we're hoping for.
I don't know, man. Here we are.
Is it the Caesar Sportsbook app? Uh-oh.
Week 1, and I'm bought back in. I'm fucking delusional. And I'm ready for Carolina.
Well, what do you think is the outcome with Tony this week? Tony play or he doesn't?
I think they're going to unleash him, man.
You think so?
No, there's no tape out there. I think they go hard to Saquon early. And they have to, right? I mean, we got to get a playmaker here besides Saquon. I mean, if Tony doesn't get 12-plus snaps this week, I mean, something's wrong big time. If Tony doesn't get a lot of snaps this week, he 100% doesn't know the playbook because you're rolling out Shep and no one else.
I'm with you, man, but based on what Dable has said recently, it sounds like because he wasn't available, this offseason due to injury, that – he's giving other guys burn that were available.
Well, I'm fine with him.
I guess Shep wasn't, but Shep is Danny's guy, though, too, just like Slayton. Slayton was also inactive as well.
Shep shows up to everything, though. Tony had his days, but, I mean, I'm fine with them giving Richie James balls.
Richie James
played great.
If this is Coach Stable's process, and you got to be available during practices to be available on Sunday, I'm fine with him, man. Again, he ripped into Daniel Jones on Sunday, right? Accountability. That's something that I preach in, you know, my daily life, to my kids, anybody at work, whatever it might be. Accountability. So if Kadarius Toney can't be available for practices, I don't need you to be available for the games either then. Get your shit together.
Do we think he's just genuinely getting beat up by Richie James?
No. I mean, look, you had Kadarius Toney on that field for 2 plays, and you saw what he did. I mean, it was
part of getting beat out, though, is knowing the playbook.
No. I'm not sure. I don't know.
It's going to be very telling.
Did Kadarius Toney not know the playbook at Florida?
I don't know, man. That was the whole thing. He couldn't run routes. That was his whole knock, was just get the ball in his hands and go. That's what he does. And, I mean, here we are, year 2, and it's almost like the same fucking thing. So it'll be very interesting because, in my opinion, they will use him this Sunday. He's going to play. It'll be interesting to see how they use him. Is it going to be gadget plays again that don't require much thinking, much option, much playbook knowledge, or is he going to be burning seams, safeties over the middle, taking on Jeremy Chin? I don't know, man.
See, but with Tony, though, you can get him involved pretty easily. If you want to even keep him close to the line of scrimmage, you can get him the ball in his hands with drag routes, slant routes, you know, so that this way he can work underneath, get those yards after the catch. You don't need to know an entire playbook. You know,
so then what is it,
very specific routes. again, I believe what, and maybe this is where my problem is, but I believe what Dable's telling us. Dable has said that he hasn't practiced all that much, so he's not playing any more games there. I mean,
that's fine, but I didn't see shit from Kenny Golladay or David Sills this week besides David Sills' block. But so I need more.
Kenny caught two passes. But then again,
one was like in the flat.
But they didn't really do much else. Danny didn't throw for 200 yards.
Well, and that's kind of the thing, man, is like I don't know. I don't think it's disciplinary. I don't. I think he's just a little slow.
With Tony, I think it is. So those all the guys that were out there were pretty much available. Well, I guess unless you want to say Breda and then Shep.
Well, are you talking about disciplinary as far as like he did something, or are you talking about just not being available?
Just not being available. I think you said disciplinary.
Yeah, I don't think it's disciplinary. Like, I don't think that he's done anything. I just don't think he's up to speed. And I think he's a slow learner, man. I mean, we fucking saw it last year too, dude. I get it. Joe Judge, Jason Garrett, I get it. But, like, it's almost exact. Tony did not do shit till week four.
See, the only thing that would tell me no, it's because Kadarius Toney used to play quarterback too. You can't play quarterback if you don't know how to read a playbook.
He played quarterback in high school?
I think so. I don't remember.
But high school quarterbacks barely throw the ball sometimes, bro.
That's fair, but I don't know.
They fucking have 10 play sheet. I mean, come on, man.
I'm gonna stick with what Brian Dable said here, and it's just I'm gonna take that at face value. And again, we don't know.
I agree with you, though, too, because it's the same thing with Slayton, right?
I don't think that you can necessarily walk away from week one and say, oh, this is what they intend to do. I want to see what they do with week two. Week two, a completely different game plan from what we saw week one.
I fully expect that. But again, it's probably the same thing with Slayton, right? Like you're saying, they're just getting beat, man. Just getting beat out. It's not a playbook thing. It's not a talent thing. They're just getting beat out by guys that are working harder.
Well, but then that would also – then you're coming back to Tony. I mean, Tony's fucking talented. So,
but maybe he's just not producing. Tony. Maybe Richie James just knows it better, man. Maybe he's just – bro, why is Darius Slayton fucking inactive?
The only reason for Darius Slayton is so confusing to me.
It's the same thing, though.
But David Sills, is he really that much better than Darius Slayton?
That's what I'm saying, Mage. You got David Sills, a guy that's known as being a hard worker, grinds his dick off, not the most athletic guy, not the most talented guy, is getting reps over probably the fastest guy on the team and probably the most skilled guy on the team. What does that tell you? You're probably right. You're believing Dable, and he's probably telling you the truth. They're just not earning Dable's respect as quick.
I just don't understand fucking making Darius Slayton inactive because seemingly what Mike Kafka wants to do, which was a staple of the KC's offense, you won't be able to take the top off the defense so that you can create space in underneath to allow guys like Wando and Tony to work.
I mean, Tony can do either or, right?
He can, but then you're also kind of taken away from what he does best, too.
Oh, well, I agree.
Space, but I agree. But the thing is, David Sills isn't taking the top off of defense. Kenny Golladay is not taking the top off of defense. So making Slayton inactive doesn't make sense to me at all.
Well, and that's what's weird is with Sills and Golladay, it's one or the other for me. Why are they both playing? It's one or the other. They're the same exact guys.
Now, the other thing.
Unathletic, go up and get the ball, guys.
The other thing, which we don't know, too, is the extent of Wandell Robinson's injury.
I don't know. I mean, again, I wish we had practice today, but we'll find that out tomorrow, too.
It wasn't that bad, but
Wandell's not playing this week, though.
So, activate Tony. Give Tony more snaps.
I mean, I've said it on Sunday. I said it earlier. I think they're going to unleash Tony. I do.
Well, I hope.
Especially because one thing. Did Tony play that game? Yeah, because he threw Danny that pass. I was going to say Tony didn't play against the Panthers last year, but he did. That's when Danny caught the one-hander. Right? Yeah, Tony threw that, pretty sure. But, yeah, man. I mean, I think that should be, honestly be the theme this week, Unleash Tony. Unleash Tony. You have to.
All right, so as we wrap up this episode, then, what is your prediction for this week's game?
Another nail biter, man.
Another nail biter, huh?
Yeah. We're not getting blown out. We're not going to blow anyone out. But it's just going to – this game's going to come down to Baker versus Daniel.
I'm going to say 27-20 Giants.
So – I'm not going to put a score on it, but
No. You're putting a score on it.
You're not. You said 27-20? They lost 26-24 last week. I'm going to say we break 30. So 32-28 Giants. 32
or 30-28?
32-28 Giants.
32.
Yep.
So the points are 32, not 32-28.
Correct.
All right, 32.
We break 30. And Danny, it comes down to Danny versus Baker and who makes the least mistakes. Who turns the ball over?
32 is such an odd number.
All right, 34-28.
How do you get to 32? Let's see.
Missed field goal.
What is that, three touchdowns? How many field goals would you need? Three field goals and then 2-point conversion?
No.
Oh.
Four touchdowns and a field goal, right? No, that's 31. 31-28,
Mesh. Oh, man.
But I do think it's going to really come down to Baker and Daniel and who can –
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, again, if it was up to me, I think you got to pressure Baker. I don't think that Baker's great under pressure. I think he tries to overcompensate. He has that moxie. He has that attitude. I think sometimes that gets him in trouble because I think he overextends himself, and I think he overextends the plays, and he tries to do too much. So if I'm the Giants, you got to try to create pressure. Try to get to Baker, man. That's what I would do. I agree with you.
Yep. I agree. Got to get to the quarterback.
I think that's pretty much it. I think we're going to wrap this up.
Hey, Phil. Hope you're well.
Glad back, Phil.
Ooh, I'm going to go follow Phil right now.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Giants Report. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.